We do thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for last week and how you demonstrated the healing of broken hearts. We just pray, Lord, this move of your spirit continue in Jesus' name. We're going to continue our brand new series, Breaking Free. I've lost track whether this is like part two. I'm not really sure. Even second service last week, I didn't really get to share much. But the Lord is demonstrating. Sometimes we'll teach it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Sometimes he just demonstrates it. But can I get a witness that when the word of God is taught, if it's taught from spirit to spirit, the Holy Spirit is still moving. It's not true that the Holy Spirit only moved in church if Brother Steve or somebody else didn't share the word. That's not true. God still very much moves in the ministry of the word. We continue worshiping by the Spirit as we hear the word. Well, amen, and thank you, Brother Brian. Brian and I are in agreement on that truth right there. Not one of us in here was created to be mastered by anything but God. Matter of fact, you're too great of creation to be mastered by anything but God's Spirit. That's why if alcohol is dominating you, pornography is dominating you, methamphetamines are dominating you, you're out of kilter, you're off track. You don't feel right because you're not to be mastered by anything but Him. Oklahoma is number one in prescription drug abuse in the nation. Oklahoma has the fourth highest drug mortality rate in the United States. I'm talking about your fellow Oklahomans. Fourth highest drug mortality rate in the United States. And if you don't think the enemy wants to use the new marijuana thing as a gateway to bigger and better things in his mind, then I think you're mistaken. I'm not speaking against medicinal marijuana. I'm talking about a plan that the enemy has. Oklahoma pharmacies filled nearly 10 million prescriptions for narcotic painkillers last year. 10 million prescriptions for narcotic painkillers last year. We're under attack, guys. We're under assault. And can I get a witness that not everybody who's having problems, not every time little Johnny acts out in class because he used his pencil as a sword and imagined he was slaying a dragon somewhere, do we need to give Johnny narcotics? Come on, somebody. Just because Sarah's out of kilter on the playground doesn't mean we got to drug her up. Narcotics is not the answer to all of our social problems. Somebody who's acting out. What if it's just a broken heart? Can I get a witness? Alcohol can't heal a broken heart. Narcotics can't heal somebody's broken heart. Sex can't heal a broken heart. Illicit relationships can't heal a broken heart. A night at the bar can't heal a broken heart. Going home with somebody you just met to sleep with them cannot heal a hole in a person's soul. Only Christ, the Anointed One, can heal a broken heart. And I'll quote Him Himself, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach good news to the poor and to heal brokenhearted people." Now give Him praise in the house of God. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, we're at war, and if you can't see it, you're blind. Let's go behind the veil and see what our Father sees. Let's leave behind carnal Christianity. We've been in the boat long enough. Let's get out and live where Jesus lives. Tulsa County has more meth lab seizures per year than any county in the United States of America. Tulsa County, an hour and a half from us, more meth lab seizures than any county in the United States of America. Watchmen, it's time to get on the wall. Intercessors, you got stuff to pray about. We spend all our time praying and hoping, man, I hope the church membership grows. Man, hope the offerings go up. Man, come on. Get engaged in the kingdom of God. Hearts are being destroyed. Families are being crushed. The answer is not always give them drugs, which can lead to this and lead to that and longevity and all that kind of stuff. So many drugs are just a false peace. We want to feel better. What's wrong with addicts? They want to feel better. Why? Because there's something missing in their heart. Remember Luke chapter 4, verse 14, the Passion Translation. Jesus armed with the Holy Spirit's power. It doesn't say armed with some church doctrine. Jesus armed with tracts. Armed with the power of the Holy Spirit. My goodness. He returned to Galilee. Can I get a witness that even if the world begins to see the power of God in demonstration and people being healed, people being delivered, people being saved inwardly. You ever notice sometimes Jesus talked in John 3 about being born of water and the Spirit. Born of water. Well, some say it's your mama, you know, the water breaks. Some say it's water baptism. Water baptism won't save you. You're just converted outwardly. Where do you need to be converted? Inwardly. You want to know where the Church of America is? They're all in outwardly. We need to be in inwardly. And we'll run to the river of God and we'll say, here's my past, Lord. Here's all my guilt. Here's my shame. Thank you. And you know what he really wants you to do? Get yourself into the river and say, all of me. All of me. Not all my guilt, all my pain, and all my past. If you get in the river, it all came. And he can wash it away. That's where the church in America is. We got to be all in inwardly. And it's not going to happen without the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. This is a ministry of Jesus. To baptize you, literally immerse you in the Spirit of God. Wow, what's that going to look like? I'm afraid of that. Well, he knows what it looks like. Just ask for it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. You want him. You want him. Verse 15, he taught in the churches and they glorified him. And when he came to Nazareth, where he'd been raised, Jesus went to church. That was his custom on the Sabbath. He always went on the Sabbath. When Jesus came to the front to read the scriptures, they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and read where it's written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's anointed me to be hope for the poor, to be freedom for the brokenhearted, new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners you're set free. I've come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. Oh, touch your neighbors, they don't miss it. Don't miss God's acceptance. The only way you can miss God's acceptance is if you think it has to do with you. That you're trying to earn your way somehow. Because Christ is who got you accepted. His blood is greater than your sin. Some of you got to repent of how much pride you have in your failures. You actually think the things you've done wrong would have more power to separate you from God than Christ's righteous blood has power to get you right. Amen. Verse 20, after he'd read this, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the minister, and sat down. Everyone stared at Jesus, wondering what he was about to say. And he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Notice he's quoting Isaiah 61. He left off the day of vengeance of our God. I think it's important. The power to go and sin no more. The power to be reconciled to God and live a life with God. You got to know you're not condemned. You got to have that revelation. I was visiting with a man right here in our church, 28 years sober from alcohol. Amen. 28 years sober from alcohol. He said, Brother Steve, most people in my condition all those years ago think God hates them, God's disappointed in them, that they're battling unworthiness and undeservedness and fear. So we'll put a pause on the day of vengeance of our God. Thank you, Jesus. So he's anointed to heal brokenhearted people. The word broken, I told you last week, means to crush completely. To smash to pieces, to bruise, or to wound. The word heart is talking about your mind, your feelings, or your emotions. Not your spirit man. Your soulish man is bruised. Your feelings get hurt. You get crushed in your emotions and in your thought life, and it opens a door to all kinds of thoughts and other feelings. And so many people struggle with addiction because of a broken heart, church, because they get crushed. Maybe they go through a divorce. Maybe their wife, you know, leaves them for somebody else, and they have a hole in their soul. Jesus is anointed to heal that broken place. And can I get a witness? You are too. Luke 4 is you and I's job description. If the Holy Spirit anointed the first body of Jesus, he wants to anoint the current body of Jesus to heal brokenhearted people. Like we said last week, you can get mad all day long at the fruit, but you got to get to the root. I know, why does he keep drinking? Why does he keep doing that? Why I keep catching him on the computer? Why does he keep going there or her? You can get mad at the fruit and the behavior all day long. But you know what? Where we got to get to? The root and belief. Belief is more important than behavior. Belief is more important than behavior. If you live believing that God loves you without condition, Christ has set you free, and that all your sins have been forgiven, do you think that would affect your day? It might affect your behavior a little bit, right? Sure it would. And we're all medicating our soul with something. Christians just medicate with the peace and the love and the joy of Christ. He sent his word and he healed us. We're all in need of healing. We were born into sin. We're born with a hole there, much less when we go through a divorce or we lose a loved one or things like that happen. The greatest enemy of your faith and your freedom is deception. Man, you got to get that. The greatest enemy of your freedom and your faith is deception, a lie. I know you think it's your behavior. It's a lie. It's misinformation. Your greatest asset in your war, truth. Truth is your greatest asset. Let's look at Numbers 13. 31, Good News Translation. But the men who'd gone with Caleb said, no, we're not strong enough to attack them. Remember, they went out, the spies went out. The people there are more powerful than we are. We can't do it. So they spread what kind of report? A false report. Evil report, some say. It's a false report. It's misinformation. They're doling out untruth. They said, the land doesn't even produce enough to feed the people who live there. Everyone we saw was very tall. And we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And we felt as small as grasshoppers. Shall we keep going? And that's how we must have looked to them. They don't know how they look to them. What do they do? Call them up and say, hey, how do I look to you? Do I look like a grasshopper? Because I feel like one. This is just a false report. It's misinformation. How about this one? John 8:44, Jesus speaking of Satan, but he's talking to the Pharisee. He says, you're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Oh my goodness. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar. And the father of it. How about that? What's the only weapon the enemy has against you? Lies, misinformation. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks out of his own resources. Resources, resource. So who's your source for truth? Who's your resource? You better grab a hold of this. It needs to be God and his word. It needs to be the Holy Spirit of truth. Does God know more about you than you know about you? Oh, yes, he does. So why would you think you have more truth about you than he has about you? The wisest thing you can do is agree with what he says because he knows you better than you know yourself. Amen. You want me to prove it to you? Has God numbered the hairs on your head? Some of you have more than others. Amen. Which one's number 7? You don't know. Does he know? Yep, he numbered them. He can tell you which one's 19. He can tell you 21. 121. Yeah, which one you lost in the shower this morning. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Oh my goodness. So here's God's desire that you walk in truth. He gives you his word and his spirit, who Jesus nicknamed 3 times in John, the spirit of truth, the spirit of truth. And when he comes inside you, he'll guide you into all. Why? Because the enemy's greatest weapon against your faith and freedom is misinformation. My goodness, we need to be married to the truth once again in the church of God. We need to be married to the truth and find out who our source of information is. If you're battling addiction, the devil's going to tell you this lie, and I've got a few of them because I've heard many of them. Number one, you'll never be free of that. He'll say, you'll never be free of that. Trying to tame your tongue, trying to allow the Lord to lord your mouth, and oh, you'll never be free of that. He might even say, we've been doing that in your family for generations. Oh, you're an alcoholic? Well, so was your dad. So was his dad. I've got you locked in. You'll never be free of that. He is a liar. He is a liar. I love that song. Fear. He is a liar. Boy, if we could just grab a hold of it. And the breakup song, that's a good one too. I'm breaking up with fear. He'll say, hey, once a meth head, always a meth head. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once I've got you on Oxycontin, you'll always be on Oxycontin. Once I've latched into anger, you know, we're Irish in your family, so you'll always be angry. How about this one? He'll say, it's your fault. It's your fault. How about this one? The reason you're addicted, you deserve this. God's punishing you. Oh, my goodness. And he'll convince people, born-again Christians, who are filled with truth, he'll convince them God's punishing them. And that's why they'll never get free. He'll say, your dad was a womanizer, you'll be one. His dad was a womanizer, you'll be one. You know what I say? Shut up, devil. I got a brand new family tree. What are you talking about? When I got born into the family of God, I got born out of every generational curse. When I got washed in the blood, all my old bloodlines got severed. Oh, come on, somebody. Shut up, devil. Shut up, devil. I got a new family tree. I got a brand new father. I got born out of my old family. I got born into the family of God. I entered the natural world through natural birth. I entered the spiritual family through spiritual birth. Or a natural family through natural birth. Amen. Why does the devil lie to you? He wants to steal your hope. He's a hope stealer. Guess what Jesus is? Hope dealer. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire, what you're asking for, what you're longing for, when freedom comes, it becomes a tree of life, and others get to eat off of it. What a great vengeance of our God is that you're locked into some substance abuse, Jesus sets you free, and then the revenge is, I'm going to send you back to the desert you came from, and let's go take everybody else out. Let's go lead a bunch of them out. Why? Because you're hope to them. You're hope to them. He doesn't want you ever free because you're hope to everybody who's not free. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in your believing. There's joy and peace in believing. I remember as a young man, 19, 20, 21 years old, I'd do a big piece of stupid. I had one particular habit I could never get past. I was locked into this sin. I couldn't graduate to better sin. I just felt like such a failure because I'm always down here. But he would come and he would grace me. Where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. Romans 5:20, where my limitations are limited, here comes the supernatural grace of God. And guess what I would do? I would get up. I would get up and I would believe again. And look what the Lord has done. What happens if a 20-year-old who's battling a certain addiction, what if he quits? Does he say 28 years later, look what the Lord has done? No, he's still locked into it. But God wants to give you hope and joy in your believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when the devil says you'll never be free, you tell him to shut up and you say, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm already free. I might not have acted like I was free yesterday, but that doesn't mean I'm not free, because truth is a higher law than fact. Thrust and lift is a higher law than gravity. That's how planes fly. Truth is a higher law than your behavior. You tell him 1 John 5:4 says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. You tell him 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he that's within the world. Every day, God's going to build his case about who you are and the freedom you have in spirit and in truth. That's where he's building his case, spirit and truth. So humble yourself enough to realize you're not determining the truth about you. That the nasty natural doesn't determine who you are. Now, the devil's going to go after your soulish man and what you feel and what you think and how you behave, and he'll build his case there and lock you into the natural realm. And he'll use it as evidence. Why? Because the natural is evidence. So I don't deny the natural's there. I just deny that's all there is, and I sure deny that that's the truth about me. What if it's possible that as a born-again Christian, I am set free, and my sin, my pattern behavior, my flesh pattern is just revealing that I've believed a lie about myself. It doesn't reveal what's true about Steve. It reveals he's deceived in this area. Anybody ever looked for love in the wrong places? What is that born out of? A lie that you're not loved. It's born out of the lie of lack. Why else are you going to go get something? You don't realize you already have something. If you know you're loved, if you know you're accepted by God, you're full. So you're not trying to fill a void with Johnny at the bar. And poor Johnny. He gets saddled in there as, oh, I love you, Johnny. You're the end all be all. You make me feel so good. Don't ever screw up. Don't ever make me feel not loved, Johnny. Because it's all up to you. Oh, my goodness. Johnny's messed up too. Two ticks and no dog, that's what we call it. The truth is, the day you got born again, you got set free from anything and everything. And you receive the power to overcome any addiction. Say, I've got the power. Boy, I wish we had the song. Oh, man, look. I already had those scriptures up there for you. Sorry about that. Let's see what else we got. Okay, Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under law. You're under grace. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Let's let Scripture interpret Scripture. When are you not under law? When you're walking by the Spirit. Then when does dominion not have, or sin have dominion, not have dominion over you? When you're walking by the Spirit. Do you see it? You're not under law, you're under grace. Okay, well, when am I not under law? When I'm led by the Spirit. Sin doesn't take dominion over me when I'm walking by the Spirit and truth. 1 John 5:6, the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit is the truth about you. Oh, but Brother Steve, I blew it the other day. I'm such a terrible person. I'm horrible. The Spirit is the truth. Repent. Galatians. Oh, I already read that one. 5:18. 2 Corinthians 12, concerning this thing, Paul said, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, take it from me. And he said to me, oh, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes he'll deliver you. Sometimes he'll empower you to say no. Sometimes he'll empower you to say, you know what, devil? I love the Lord more than I love that. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, my power. Everybody say power. The translation there in the Greek is dunamis. The power of the Holy Spirit. When he comes upon you, right, you'll be my witnesses. That's that word. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power, my dunamis in the Spirit is made manifest in weakness. Acknowledge you're weak without me. Invite me in. You're up late. You're being tempted to run to the computer and look at things you shouldn't look at. Invite Jesus to be Lord right then. Lord, Be Lord of me. Let your power manifest in my weakness. I'm feeling weak, but I know it's my soul. I know it's my body. It's not my spirit. My spirit is satisfied in you. Therefore, most gladly, I boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He defines grace for you right there. Dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. So sin is a power. And I can show you that in Scripture. And a lot of people think that grace is just God overlooking sin. That's not grace. Grace is God's power to overthrow sin. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk by that Spirit and sin not have dominion over you. So we need a greater power. And willpower is not the greater power. Willpower is what is, I'm talking about your power. It doesn't come from the soul of man, it comes from the Spirit of God. Amen. That's why I tell you, the power to forgive somebody doesn't come from an apology. It comes from Christ. And I can forgive them whether they apologize or not. How about that, devil? I'm not locked into the natural. I'm not waiting on somebody to do something for me and source me to be empowered to forgive. Christ has empowered me to forgive. Amen. David knew he couldn't beat Goliath on his own. David said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Did you notice David in battling Goliath and taking him down? He never boasted in his own ability, ever. He said God would deliver Goliath to him. Why? Because God's power is manifest in human weakness. The acknowledgement, I can't beat this thing without the power of God. Willpower is not the power. Christ's power is the power. Man, I just came down here. All right, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 17, I'm coming back down. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword. Now you get this in your mind, whatever it is that tries to take you down. If we take our mask off, we're honest, everybody's battling something. Everybody's battling something. The kingdom of God suffers opposition. And if you're in the kingdom and you're doing kingdom business, I promise you, the devil's got little wiles and schemes for you. So he said, you come to me with a sword, a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day, everybody say this day. This day, boy, I feel that. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you and take your head from you. And this day, there it is again, come on, shout it out. And this day, I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. Oh, here we go. That all the earth, Lord wants me to get exercise, may know there is a God. Verse 47, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. My goodness. My goodness. And how did he take him down? The stone, right? Slingshot, right between the eyes. Where did David get the stones? What is a river and a brook, a stream? What does it represent in Scripture? The Spirit. How many stones did he get? Five is the number of grace. So, amen. More, Lord. So he went and got out of the Spirit of God, the grace of God, and he slew Goliath by the grace and the hand of God. Somebody give him praise in this house. This is the power of God. This is the church of the new covenant. This is the church that's rising in America. A spirit-born, spirit-empowered, spirit-led church. We do business by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. We pray by the Spirit. We worship by the Spirit. We are people of the Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, two worlds that should work together. But the design is the Spirit governs the earth. So the Spirit of God governs the earth part of you and me. That's protocol. He fashioned Adam from the dust of the ground, the earth makes him from the earth, and then he breathes Spirit into him. So it's always God's protocol to fill the natural with the supernatural. Now, pull back the curtain and look at planet Earth. Fill the natural with the supernatural. Govern the earth from the heavens. How about this one? 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace where? The eyes of the Lord, the grace of God, roams the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal, faithful, needy of him. Just let Scripture interpret Scripture. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord, the grace of God roams the whole earth. And it doesn't say looking for somebody who'll show themselves strong for Jesus. Woo, Jesus, look how strong I am. No, it says looking to show himself strong on their behalf. Looking to show himself strong on their behalf. Anybody think the devil's butt's getting kicked here today? Man, I believe it. Grace and truth, the power of the Holy Spirit, is what overcomes our natural limitations. And listen to me, God's never going to grow you, mature you, or deliver you beyond your need of him. That will never happen. The more mature you get, the more you realize you need him every day. If any righteousness is going to manifest in me, it's going to be him. He doesn't need your ability, he needs your availability. He doesn't need your worthiness, he needs your willingness. Brother Gavin, you guys can come. So whether it's a Jericho wall that's got to come down, a Red Sea that needs to be parted, a Goliath who needs to be defeated, an opioid addiction, a porn addiction, an anger addiction, a control addiction. How many of you know you can be addicted to control, everything and everybody, born right out of fear? Whatever it is, the grace of God is the answer. We can't be saved without grace. That's the power of God, Ephesians 2:8. You can't obey God without grace, Romans 1:5. You can't minister without grace, 1 Peter 4:10. You can't preach without grace, Ephesians 3:8. You can't overcome the dominion of sin without grace, Romans 6:14. And you can't slay the giants in your life every day without the grace of God. Will you stand with me? Can we invoke his grace this morning? Well, I heard one person. When I say can we, shall we? Shall we invoke his grace this morning? Would you be radical and raise your hands with me? This doesn't make you Pentecostal. This is in the Bible, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, come on, pray with me. Lord, we invite, we invoke, we welcome the very grace of God, the power of God through human weakness. Let us never be the same again. Lord, let us be baptized, immersed, deputized, sheriffized, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Oh, glory to God. Father, I lay my hand upon my head because I'm getting new thoughts in the mind of Christ. Lord, I'm getting new visions. Lord, I'm getting new mindsets in the name of Jesus, that I won't think the way I used to think. I won't succumb where I used to succumb anymore. Not by might or power, but by your Spirit, Lord. By your Spirit. By your Spirit, Lord, all over this room. We just invoke and inquire and, Lord, invite the very grace of God to fill us. Come on, let him fill you fresh. Let him ignite you on the inside as a man or woman of the grace of God. Woo, glory to God. Come on, let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.